If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, listen to this. Maybe you've been in this situation, dating in the past on one side or the other. It says, "Hi, Nikki, Sam, and Andy. I've been on just a handful of dates with a guy over the past few weeks. We've seen each other at least twice per week, and somehow it has never come up until this weekend that he smokes. I don't think he smokes a lot, but it's always been my number one deal breaker when it comes to dating, and I'm 36. Why would I change that now? Things were going really well, but I felt like I was being punched in the gut when he excused himself to smoke with another friend of mine who smokes this weekend when we were out. I asked him if he smokes every day, and he said normally a couple of times, but sometimes it's more when he's out drinking with friends. What would you do in this situation?" From Denise in St. Hubert.
I mean, if this is the only thing you have to complain about, if this is like the deal breaker, I'd say date him. I mean, I know a lot of people that will just have the occasional cigarette, one or two a day, you know, that like after work type of thing.
I think one or two a day is not occasional anymore.
Really?
No.
2 days a fair amount.
If it's every day, I think you're a smoker.
Okay,
I
all
think
right.
If it's every day.
Different definitions of social smokers.
I do, yeah.
But, you know, as an example, when I will occasionally have a cigarette, maybe once every few months when I'm just in the mood for it.
Okay, that would be occasional to
me. I never told Josie that I'm an occasional smoker. I never felt that it was enough for me to want to volunteer that information. And so I think 3 or 4 months into our relationship, she saw me smoking for the first time. And it took her a bit aback, but I mean, she got over it and I was very honest with it, but I let her know that it wasn't a regular,
but maybe
occurrence.
It wasn't like a huge deal breaker for her. Maybe it wasn't like top of her list.
True.
Would you have told her if it was a massive deal breaker?
Good question.
No, he would have lied for
that. You know what? I think Denise here, I don't think she should apologize for having something that's a deal breaker for her. We all have one. And smoking for her is clearly that thing. I think in this case, this guy sounds like he has a couple a day. That's a fair amount. Like we just said, that's
what. I wouldn't say fair amount. You guys are both wrong. It's not okay.
Yes, but
he's a smoker. He would be considered a very light smoker compared to most people if he's smoking twice a day.
He says he smokes a couple a day. Bet you he smokes more though. I bet you most smokers, I think they say, "I have a couple a day." I bet you that's actually 3 or 4 a day and they just don't want to admit it.
I don't know because she has spent a lot of time with him and it's never really come up before. So I actually believe the 2 a day. Mm-hmm. I believe him in this situation.
And don't we all have a habit that, you know, ticks off our partner? I mean, we can't all be perfect. There might be something that, you know, that I do that, you know, that's a big deal to Josie and vice versa, but we kind of have to accept it.
I can just, I guess when it's the top, top, top thing on your list, sometimes I question why that is though.
Right.
You know, my best friend loathes smoking. I don't know anyone who hates it more than her. She married a guy who smoked and he actually quit. And I think she did keep making comments. And I think his thing was like, "You can't tell me to quit. Like it can't work this way. It's not going to go that way." Yep. But eventually he quit and she would have given up on the love of her life had she put her foot down on this.
That's it. And people can mask the smell very well. I know I have a cousin of mine who used to smoke a lot, like over a pack a day, and you would never smell it on him. I'm telling you, I was astounded. Yeah, it was like his full-time job to keep himself smelling neutral.
People put in a lot of work not to smell like it. There's like hand sanitizer, gum, brushing their teeth.
If this guy's having 2 a day, one after work, maybe one, you know, in his morning coffee type of thing, and she never has to see it. I mean, out of sight, out of mind.
And here's the thing too. Okay, put this in perspective, Andy, because you're saying dump him, right?
Dump him.
I say it doesn't have to be a deal breaker. But would you think, say you eat a really, really unhealthy diet all the time, would you think that's strange if somebody refused to date you for that reason?
You know, if that person was really into fitness and stuff like that, no, I wouldn't think it's strange at all.
Really? I think some people would have a hard time with that. They'd say, "What does my diet have to do with you, really?" And it's kind of a similar thing, really. Especially if you don't smell like cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
Because poor diet causes as many, if not more, deaths than smoking does. So I think, you know, when we start meddling in people's lives, again, if it's not affecting her, she's not seeing him smoke, she's not smelling the smoke on him, obviously, she's never smelt it on him, then really, is it her business necessarily?
Everyone might have a good diet, but you also need your McDonald's once in a while too, you know what I mean? No one's perfect. So this guy goes a couple cigarettes a day. Well, okay, so it's this little treat for the day, but if everything else is intact.
This one text says, "My wife hates cigarettes, but I smoke a cigar once in a while and she's fine with it." So,
well, compromise. But then take up cigarettes and see what happens. This text from Florence, she basically says, dump him. She says, "If you know that the person was a smoker when you met him and you don't like smoking, then don't date him. Don't get into a relationship and then try to change someone. It's not fair to him or to you."
I get that. This text says, keep him. That's where I'm at too. I would just hate, I've seen friends get into relationships with smokers and later on, things things change. Either they quit or one of them becomes comfortable with it. And they're, it's the love of their life. It would just be a shame to let that go.
Yeah. Habits change. Character flaws, maybe not so much. But habits can change. They can alter.
Okay. But does it change if he's like a super heavy smoker? That's different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good question.
Right? I do think it is.
Which could happen too.
When, if all of his days and his whole life is sort of like revolving around when he can smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Would this be fair? Imagine someone saying this to you.
Okay.
If you loved me, you would quit smoking.
It's fair to say it. It's not fair to expect them to.
If you've been in a relationship with a person for a long period of time and this person is your future, yes, I think that's fair.
If you loved me, really?
You're asking somebody to quit a disgusting habit, that's probably going to shorten their life. It's and yours tough. Too because of secondhand smoke.
At the end of the day, it's their decision though, you know? I have a friend who had to quit recently when he had kids because he realized that it was that much more important than there whatever habit he was holding on to.
Yeah. What if you just have, so Andy, you don't smoke obviously, but what if you, like you go like going through the drive through every morning for a cookie?
Yeah.
What if Kelly said to you, if you loved me, you would stop eating cookies?
I would be so upset with her, but I would do it.
You know, my mom smoked when I was growing up, and I used to say that every day to her. If you loved me, you would quit. How awful.
To which she would reply.
Go to your room. What are they teaching you in school?
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So a woman found out that her husband was having an affair, and then she shamed him in the most public way possible. Were her actions warranted? Okay, listen to this story. A woman found out that her husband was having an affair, and she was obviously very angry, very emotional, as anybody would be.
Of course.
So she went the public route when it came to shaming him, and apparently she wanted to get some revenge.
Uh-oh.
So what this woman did is she spray-painted their bed with details of the affair in bright red spray paint.
Wow.
It said, "I changed the locks. Take the bed to Rachel's house. I'm divorcing you. I told the kids what you did in our bed and they don't love daddy anymore." Now, this photo is going viral on Reddit. Some people think she is trashy, but everybody has some sort of opinion one way or another on what she did.
The poor kids. I mean, look, yes, cheating is wrong. And does she have a right to shame him? Yes. Did she go about it in the most mature way? I don't think so. A cheating husband makes for a crappy husband doesn't necessarily make for a failed father. I mean, he could still be a positive figure in the kids' lives even after cheating. And given how impressionable kids are and how sensitive they are, especially when it comes to the energy between the parents, shaming your kids, your significant other in front of your kids, it could jeopardize their trust with their father down the road. And I don't know if that's necessarily fair. I mean,
but did she jeopardize the trust or did the father jeopardize
all of a sudden
the trust?
We're blaming her for something.
The woman. How did she jeopardize the trust when he's the one who was having an affair with Rachel, whose name I messed up because it didn't actually, I made up because it didn't actually say the name. I was thinking of Beyonce and Rachel with the good hair.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like Rachel will work. Poor right. Rachel's. Poor Rachel's.
I mean, the kids don't know the whole story, and I don't know if they did, if she gave them the whole story, but
something people kept bringing up on Reddit though too, where was she expected to lie to the kids? He's the one who did it. Like he's the one who messed up.
You're
supposed to cover for him for the rest of your life.
I don't know what she was expected to do here, but I don't think it was to sit back and keep quiet and handle it. I don't think she's worried about doing something in a mature way.
True.
Right now.
She wasn't
thinking about
maturity.
All the feelings that she's going through, and she's worried about being mature. I don't think so. She's worried about living out people's dreams and getting some revenge, because I think when this happens to you, you have a choice. Yeah,
yep.
You can sit back and handle it maturely and quietly, or you can do what a lot of people wish they did and get a little revenge. I think she did that.
Get a little revenge.
Yeah, I think it's fun what she did. Good for her.
Here's the thing, and I hear you, and you both said, like, or Andy said, you have a choice, and it doesn't always feel like a choice when you have this heightened level of emotion.
Right. Yeah.
So yes, we do. At the end of the day, we all have a choice all of the time, but emotions are real. And what I'm seeing here, someone just texted in and said she's a lunatic. And in this situation, I don't disagree. She just snapped. Emotionally, you know, in a perfect world, everybody could deal with their emotions in a way that made the most sense to cause themselves the least amount of pain. She didn't do that in this situation because she just couldn't. I can empathize with that. Like she just couldn't.
But she also didn't think of the repercussions that it could possibly have psychologically
again,
on the kids.
Again, because emotionally she's at this like heightened, like advanced, she's nuts. Mm-hmm. She's snapped. She's lost it. She has lost it.
You know, she might not have, you know, let's also remember that he also didn't think of the repercussions of his actions and what they could have
on
the kids.
Thank you. That is what caused all of this at the end of the day was that. Now, Andy, I thought it was kind of funny because because you kind of went about this saying it's kind of fun. I think it's fun. I don't know if she looked at it as fun, but you're actually on to something when it comes to revenge, because I recently learned why people actually do find revenge fun. People prefer forgiveness overall as humans. We are good people. That's good news. Yeah. We do prefer forgiveness, but there is something fun about revenge. And I'm going to explain that coming up in just a few minutes.
Okay? Well, that sounds fun too.
Andy, huge fan of revenge here.
It's scarring for the kids. It's too bad because the kids will have to come out of this learning some sort of a lesson. I think it's a matter of how they learn that lesson that they're going to take forward, you know?
Hopefully the lesson is don't cheat.
Don't marry someone. Yeah, I got
or don't cross mommy.
Or don't make her mad.
Yeah,
that's true.
Exactly.
What are people saying on the text line?
Someone says, actually, I've been there. However, all these horrible emotions that I had, and yes, they are the absolute worst. She projected them onto the kids.
Yeah.
I got my revenge. I'm happier now than I was. And so are my kids who have already had to go through enough. They didn't have to know the dirty like secrets and the details of why our marriage failed. I told them that we as parents were not happy. Mm-hmm. And we didn't turn this into a nastiness do not turn this into a nastiness of a cheater by hurting them back. Walk away with your head held high.
Yeah, if you can. Absolutely.
That doesn't sound as fun.
It's ideal.
Right.
I understand how that is ideal. I do.
I don't want to cross this texter. It says, if my husband is having an affair, I would break all of his stuff and go to the woman's house and break all of her stuff too. And they could have each other and their broken stuff. But I wouldn't put my kids in it if they have nothing to do with
that's
it.
That's like pretty much the consensus, right? Mm. People are saying she has no business bringing her kids into this. It's an adult thing. A few texts on the other side. This one said the kids could have easily walked in on him and Rachel, This one says, wish I would have thought of that years ago. Good for her. The kids deserve to know what kind of man he is.
Ooh.
I know, some nasty divorces in Montreal. This one says, good for her. I did the same with a marker on his car, but at work.
Yes!
Where we both worked.
I love it. Nikki, you said you had the reason why most people think revenge is more fun.
Yeah, there was a recent study on this, the idea of revenge versus forgiveness.
Yeah.
And apparently, because Andy, when I mentioned this story, first thing Andy's like, it sounded like, it's fun. I'm like, no, there's a lot of emotion tied up. It's not funny, but you're not the only one who finds revenge fun. The deal is that we like stories in which the wrongdoers are punished.
Yeah.
And when they get more punishment than they deserve, we find it fun, apparently, as humans. Now, still, we are good people. We appreciate stories of forgiveness the most, even if they don't seem quite as fun. But they did this study like surrounding TV shows and movies and that kind of thing. But people find watching revenge a lot more fun from the outside.
Well, yeah, imagine you're watching your favorite show, whatever favorite movie, and the bad guy, they just get away with it, or they get off scot-free with the other person forgiving them, and that's it.
Yeah,
that'd make for a really bad movie.
Well, we don't feel bad. It's karma. It's overt karma, right? They're just getting what they had coming.
You leave with a full heart, or you're having fun with revenge. One or the other, basically. It's a win-win. You're getting.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Should you be honest about your intentions when you apply for a job? You can text us this morning if you like at 92925. This text says you just have to think, be yourself, be confident, and BS if you need to.
Yeah,
there
that's
you go.
It.
There you go.
I remember my mom, when I used to go to job interviews, would just always say that. Be yourself. That's the key. I'm like,
that's all it takes.
There's more to it than that.
It's just of course small, there is. Small part of it.
Anyway, we're talking about your intentions when applying for a job. So picture yourself going into a job and the person says, what do you intend to do here? What are your plans? And you could go one way and say, I'd like to stay with this company. I'd like to, there are some skills I'd really like to work on. I can see myself advancing. Or you can say, you know what? I'm looking for something for a few months to sort of like keep me in some money while I work on another project. Which way do you go about that?
Well, to me, you lie.
You lie. If you want
the job, you lie.
Andy says lie. Sam says,
you got to be brutally honest. The turnover is so rampant nowadays, and people only last 2 or 3 years on average for a job. So if that's your intention going in, might as well be honest.
Does that mean you're going to start to be honest on your resumes?
Yes. Starting now.
I don't believe it. I'm saying don't lie, but omit information, which is different
white
than lying.
Yeah, that's okay.
True.
Now, what are people saying on the text line?
I love this text. It says, I have lied at every single interview I've ever done, and I've got every single job I've ever applied for. But they say sometimes you just need to know exactly what to say and perhaps what not to say.
All right, we've got Erin on the line. She is a recruiter. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning.
What advice would you give people in this situation? I mean, you're hiring and firing a lot of people, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I've been doing it a long time.
Okay. Intention, important or not, do you want to know the truth? Would you suggest somebody is honest in this situation?
Absolutely. I mean, to a degree, as you mentioned, omitting information, it's possible, but if you're going to lie, we will find out.
How will you find out?
Oh my goodness, there's so many tools. If you're in the industry, people know each other. A lot of times, you know, it's not even doing references. It's just reaching out to a few people you're connected to on LinkedIn, Ooh. Seeing what you could find out about the person. You know, industry experience, what I do, there's always people who know somebody. So definitely, whether you get caught before you get hired or after, we'll be able to do so.
You will get caught. Now, listen, Aaron, I'm curious about this because it was always really wild to me when I learned that people flat out lied about their education and employment history, like on their resumes. Have you run into that in your career? People just completely lying, saying they graduated from Harvard when they've never been.
Oh, come on.
Seriously.
Oh, absolutely. But usually during background checks, this is when we'll find out because we work with providers. You have to add that information in. And again, if it's not accurate, we'll find out.
Yes. Can you believe people lie about those kind of things? It's wild to me.
I want to know what they say when you confront them and you say, oh, you didn't go to Harvard. Then what do they say? Yeah, I did.
Harvard Community College, not university. Yeah.
That's when HR kicks in.
I was going to say, that's when they start to cry and run away.
Yeah.
They got caught. Aaron, thank you so much for chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great day, guys.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Nikki, we got this text from Mike. He wants your help. It says, Nikki, can you tell my wife that omitting information is not lying?
I was waiting for that one. And listen, Mike, we're talking about jobs. We're not talking about your relationship, okay? My relationship therapy advice is on another day. not the same thing here at all.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.